What's up, guys? Red Nation News Podcast. My name is Saul Monnelly at Red Nation Hoops on Twitter. You're joined by Forrest Walker at Do Nots on Twitter. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm pretty good.
Yeah, so Rockets just played their first summer league game. The rookies are looking good. Zochi put up some great numbers. Really athletic and long, man. Like, that guy is tall.
Yeah, I'm excited for the season to start. Like, summer league is fun, but I'm just, this season in particular, it's just, I really can't wait for the season to start. Even like even more than last time that we thought the season was going to be really cool. It's hard for me to do anything except just like want to see Chris Paul on the court with James Harden. But that's not what you're talking about.
No, but no, but it's relevant. It's relevant. I just want to say the rookies look good though. Like, and Morey always manages to find these guys at the end of the draft, and he has his reputation of being a mediocre drafter. And I kind of wish that would stop because he just always manages to find these guys in the second round, late first round. You know, like, I mean, just look at the roster. Like Clint Capella, starting center for the Rockets, drafted number 30, I believe, by Daryl Morey, and like Zochi, second round guy. Cam Oliver, undrafted guy. Isaiah Taylor, same thing. Like if you look up and down the roster, he just manages to find these gems.
Yeah, good teams draft well, so it's it's nice to see that consistently the Rockets maintain that quality of draft.
Yeah, so let's go to get some news. The Rockets signed PJ Tucker with their full mid-level exception, $8.4 million per four-year deal. So it's about $32 million roughly. I love this signing. This is somebody who I thought fit the Rockets' mid-level exception perfectly. I thought he'd be willing to take that kind of money. Really hard-nosed defender, versatile enough to play the three and the four, can play small ball four. And he's just an awesome defender. Like, if you talk about guys who did a really great job on Harden throughout the years, PJ Tucker was on that short list, and he's just gonna fit so nice off the bench, and help the Rockets on the defensive end of the floor.
Yeah, I think it's a fantastic signing. It really fits with that roster. I've been saying, like, I'm extremely excited to watch how this plays out because I think they're really filling this roster out nicely. I think it makes a lot of sense together. For all the concerns about Chris Paul and James Harden aside, I think they are going to be able to run out some extremely good lineups, especially on the defensive end. I think this is going to be a very good team defensively. Tucker is the kind of guy who really shores up a defense who you can, and he's not a zero on offense either. So they have more two-way guys now. I think it's great. It's a fantastic value. That's not even starter money for him. So I am really ready to see this too. Another one of the long line of things I want to see this season coming up, and why can't it be November?
Speaking of Chris Paul, he was like a big part of the signing actually. Like, apparently PJ Tucker and Chris Paul grew up together. Like, they've been friends since they were nine. And he was a big part of the recruitment. He was in the meeting to recruit PJ Tucker. And that just, you know, another thing that Chris Paul has already added to this team, and they haven't even played a minute of basketball yet. Yeah, I mean, fantastic signing. Like, as you said, great value. Like, it's really hard to find wings in the NBA, and wings that can play multiple positions are even harder to find in the NBA. And as you said, two-way guy can shoot 35% from three for his career. Good enough to, you know, you have to close him out. And in last year in catch and shoot situations, I mean, he was awesome. He shot 40% from three in Toronto. And in catch and shoots, he's going to get a ton of open jumpers. I mean, he's with Chris Paul and James Harden on the floor, and Clint Capella rolling to the basket, there's going to be a lot of open threes for him, as well as other guys on the roster. This roster is really starting to round out really nice. They still need to find some positions of need. Like, they need a backup point guard. And according to Mike D'Antoni, like, they need a backup center for those nights that Nene rests. But I mean, like, you can find those guys for fairly cheap for vet minimums. Like, you don't, like, for the backup guard, like, you know, you really don't need that much. I mean, you don't need to find a Lou Williams. You don't need to find like someone that's really dynamic. You just need somebody who can dribble a little bit and shoot threes and is willing to play garbage time. That's all you really need for that backup point guard position. I mean, as far as the center market, I mean, the center market's really, really packed right now. Like, these guys aren't getting signed because all the money is dried up and every team has a center, and it's just, and it's leading to these guys having to take short deals. And I think the Rockets will be fine finding guys to fill out these roles.
Yeah, you've mentioned that the money's drying up, which has been kind of a big deal, actually. I think it's the big season of this offseason, which is that the cap went down unexpectedly, but yet there was already a precedent set by last season, and all the free agency money immediately got snapped up, and now the only teams with any money free are teams that players don't really want to sign with. So I think we're going to get to that, like, ring chasers take the minimum stage a little early this offseason. And in fact, once the next, like, couple of weeks resolves, I think we might see a really long, boring period. But it's good for Houston, because it means that they'll be able to pick up some of these guys, like you said. Like, they'll be able to find some backup point guard and backup center who are willing to just take a minimum and sit on the bench most of the time and be there whenever injury strikes. Those kind of dudes really help a championship-level team, which this Rockets team is attempting to be. We'll see if they get there. But they have a good shot at it, and they need those kind of guys, and I think they're going to find them.
Yeah, this free agency later on is going to be a bloodbath, because a lot of guys are going to fire their agents because, I mean, I feel like a lot of guys went into this offseason believing they were going to get the kind of money that guys got last year. And, like, you know, they look at the contracts, man. Like, they're on Twitter. They see these big numbers, and they talk to their agents like, hey, why aren't you getting me this kind of money? And it's gonna be pretty brutal. Like, there's going to be a lot of agents that are fired unnecessarily. There's going to be a lot of disgruntled players taking short deals so they can come back next summer and take a bigger deal. It's real. I feel bad for these guys, but I mean, this is kind of the way the market was supposed to be. This is why the NBA wanted cap smoothing and, you know, to slowly bring this TV money in instead of having it all come in 2016. And that's kind of why we're in the situation where, you know, like it's brutal, man. Like free agency's been kind of conservative. I mean, teams have kind of had to watch their spending habits, unless you're the Knicks, who just gave out a $72 million offer to Tim Hardaway Jr. But, I mean, every other team, they're spending their cap a little bit more frugally, right? And it's showing. And you're going to find these guys take ring chaser-like deals. I mean, I think even PJ Tucker, in the introductory press conference, said that he turned down bigger deals to come to the Rockets. So, I mean, you got to imagine he probably had, like, $10 million offer sheets, $10 million per year offer sheets that he turned down to come to the Rockets. And if PJ Tucker's willing to do it, I mean, you got to figure guys are willing to take, you know, minimum $2.4 million is the minimum, I think, or $2.3 million is the minimum contract this year to come to the Rockets. And the Rockets are going to hold on to their biannual. So if someone gets bought out midseason, that of significance, the Rockets can probably beat most of their offers, because most teams are going to be offering their minimum, and the Rockets are going to be able to offer a full $1 million more. And I think it's actually kind of smart that they're not using it this summer. Originally, like, I thought it was kind of strange, but it makes a lot more sense the more you think about it. If a guy like Dwayne Wade gets bought out midseason, the Rockets can kind of pounce. And, you know, they haven't used their trade exception yet. They just waived poor Ryan Kelly. that was a big date for the Rockets. July 7th was like a date that we were all watching intently, because, you know, his contract became guaranteed today, and like, it looked like the Rockets were seriously considering moving him, but I mean, it just looks like they probably couldn't find any offers.
Yeah, I mean, presumably they wanted to make some kind of deals today, but yeah, if everyone knows, were no deals available, then it makes sense to waive him. I don't know. That's very boring. It's very boring that's just the thing that happened today, but that's what it was. So we're going to have plenty more boring days coming up soon. Oh, well, you know who else is might get waived or bought out?
Who?
Look at that transition. Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah, Carmelo Anthony. Man, I wish we had more people on the podcast today. I have conflicting feelings about Carmelo Anthony coming to the Rockets, and
you say conflicting, but I know that you mean negative.
Yeah, like, I'm very much in the minority of Rockets bloggers and Rockets Twitter in general. Rockets Twitter is definitely for Carmelo Anthony. Let's go ahead and mention what exactly happened. A story came out a couple of days ago about Carmelo Anthony being willing to waive his non-trade clause to come to the Cavaliers or the Houston Rockets should he be traded to there. And like I'm kind of like in the minority who's like, yeah, I'm not a big Melo guy. I'm just not. Like I've watched Melo the last 2 years. I know what he is. He's a volume shooter. He's not a great defender. He's probably not a top 25 player. And like, you know, like, yeah, the name Carmelo Anthony certainly rings a few bells, but I mean, if you've watched him the last 2 years, he's just not the same guy anymore, man. Like Carmelo Anthony hasn't been Carmelo Anthony in some time. He's lost a lot of explosiveness. He's not going to the basket the same way he used to. He shoots a ton of mid-range jumpers. He's not that great at them. 44% clip, which is, you know, just shy of Chris Paul's 50% clip from the mid-range. And you got to figure, like, if he's coming to Houston, he's probably going to have to cut that out of his game. He's not a better shooter than Ryan Anderson, which is probably who the Rockets are going to have to give up in a scenario where they have to acquire Carmelo Anthony. He's a pretty good catch-and-shoot guy, which is the main argument you could make, right? Like, he's not going to take these difficult three-pointers that he's been taking with the Knicks. He's going to get a lot of more open threes. And the biggest selling point with Melo is this, you know, this mythical urban legend, you know, Olympic Melo, right? Like Olympic Melo, he can do all these great things. He can shoot threes. He understands his role. He's, you know, the perfect combo four you'd want on your team. But I mean, like, that just hasn't resonated in the NBA. It just hasn't. I mean, like, we're in year 14 of Carmelo Anthony, and like, he's played God how many like years where he hasn't been that. I mean, like, we're just kind of waiting for this to happen, but I mean, it hasn't. Like, he's been the same Melo for so many years. I mean, Carmelo Anthony's probably played, like, let's just say 36 Olympic games, and he's played like a few hundred NBA games. Like, I'm supposed to believe the smaller sample size, you know? Like, do you get where I'm coming from?
I get where you're coming from. So, as full disclosure, I'm sort of a Melo agnostic, I guess. And that I think Melo has a higher ceiling but a lower floor than not Melo. So I honestly, whatever happens is fine by me. I'm not going to be upset, or I'm not going to be upset by any scenario. That being said, to prevent kind of the other side of things, like, so I definitely think that you make a good point, which is that Melo lacks the explosiveness he used to have. He's a less athletic. He worked with D'Antoni before and didn't seem to like the system. I think those are all like extremely worrisome concerns. I think there are also some causes for hope, though. I think the main selling point is that his overall talent level is just higher than Ryan Anderson's. And I'm going to put out here right now, when we're talking about like acquiring Melo on the Rockets, like every sane individual, that talk is for Ryan Anderson, filler, and like maybe like a second rounder or something, right? It's we're not talking about the Rockets giving up like Eric Gordon and Trevor Ariza. That's just not going to happen, nor should it. Or we'll get into a buyout scenario later. But so I know people have been talking about like, why would you give up good players for a bunch of good players for Carmelo Anthony? Well, we're talking about who's better for the Rockets, Ryan Anderson, Carmelo Anthony. Do you agree? That's the actual discussion.
Yeah, yeah, and that's a smarter discussion, right? Like Ryan Anderson. I mean, Carmelo Anthony. I can agree he's a better player than Ryan Anderson. And that's not the argument I'm making, right? I actually tweeted out that I thought Ryan Anderson was a better, like, I'd rather have Ryan Anderson than Carmelo Anthony for this team, and it caused a big storm, frankly, on my mentions. I mean, like, people have strong feelings about Carmelo Anthony, and I just kind of wonder, like, have you guys watched him play the last 5 years? I mean, like, maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just not a Melo guy, right? Like, he's just not the same, man. And like, and the point you raised about D'Antoni is really big. It's really important. Like, we're expecting these guys to throw away their blood feud. I mean, like, if you guys remember what happened in New York, I mean, Carmelo basically approached D'Antoni and the front office and said, it's either me or him. And Mike D'Antoni resigned. And like, he you didn't want to put up with that crap anymore. And we're kind of expecting them to get over it. And Mike D'Antoni said he's kind of willing to move, look past things. But I'm like, it's just not that easy, right? Like, it's not that easy to look over this, that this guy cost you his job, basically. That this guy wasn't willing to adapt with you, with what you were doing in New York. And, you know, he's just not a Mike D'Antoni player. He's a ball stopper. I mean, he hasn't played in a fast system in ages, and he's really isolation heavy. And if you look at guys who are prototypical Mike D'Antoni players, I mean, Carmelo Anthony just doesn't fit the bill. Olympic Melo does, right? But again, Olympic Melo is kind of this urban legend that we just haven't seen manifest itself in the NBA.
So I think the argument about Olympic Melo, the reason why anybody would believe in such a thing, is that the situation of the Olympics bear resemblance to the hypothetical situation on this Rockets team. That in the similarity is that he has always been the best player on his team. He's always been the presumed leader of the team. But like the Olympic team, he would not be the best player or presumed to be the leader of the team. That it would absolutely be Chris Paul or James Harden, like both of them above him. As to how that interplay works out, that's a different thing. We've talked about at length, and we'll talk about again, I'm sure, 800 times. But Carmelo Anthony would be clear number three. And the idea that he is clearly number three and he needs to fit the offense is the hope there. That he looks like he's able to just kind of play within himself and not force things as he typically does in the NBA settings, that he would play more similar to his Olympic self, because that's the deferring Melo. That's the not taking over Melo. So I think there is some reason to hope that might happen. I think the judgment on whether or not that is likely kind of falls to the guys in the Houston Rockets front office and coaching staff. So I guess it's a boring take, but I kind of trust their judgment. I think if they think that Carmelo Anthony is able to and willing to take on a much more limited role, I think he could be extremely successful. And I think if they think he'll do that, then they'll acquire him. But I think if they don't think he'll do that, then they won't. So, I don't know. It's not very exciting, but I think that's kind of more realistic.
Yeah, and the fact that he's willing to waive his no-trade clause is a positive step, right? That's a sign that he's willing to make it work with Mike again, right? And I'm not necessarily sure that carries that much weight, but I mean, it does mean something, right? It does show something there's only two teams he's willing to take, that he's willing to leave New York for, and it's basically Cleveland or Houston. And you know, like, those are both scenarios where he's clearly not going to be the best player on the team. He's clearly not going to be the second best player on the team. And I think he understands that. Whether or not he's able to keep that in his head throughout the course of an 82 game season, that's another story, right? And you know, like, your natural tendencies as a basketball player they're just going to come out in any setting, right? He's going to have to break some bad habits, and he's going to have a full training camp to do this, presumably, if the Rockets decide to pursue this. But I'm skeptical. Like, I remain skeptical until I see it. Here's what I'll say. Daryl Morey he's really good at reclamation projects, right? If you just look at their last offseason, that was basically one giant reclamation project, right? Ryan Anderson, guy who people thought couldn't ever be a starting caliber power forward in the NBA, at least on a contending team. Eric Gordon, guy who's really injury riddled, probably, you know, like, good player, but I mean, he's too injury riddled to ever play an NBA, to ever really contribute to a contending team. Mike D'Antoni, the ultimate reclamation project, right? And this is particularly relevant. Like, Mike D'Antoni looked awful in New York, and there's something to be said about that setting making you look really bad, right? And you know, maybe there's some of that going on in New York. Maybe New York is making him look that awful. We've seen this with J.R. Smith, right? When J.R. Smith left the Knicks, he looked a lot better in a Cavs uniform when he was set in line, right? With LeBron and a good culture there in that Cavs locker room. Same thing with Shumpert. Like, these were guys that were kind of undervalued assets, and he made their David Griffin, GM of the Cleveland Cavaliers,
ex-GM
made their value go up like like crazy. And like,
yeah, like spoilers, the Knicks are a terrible organization, and that trickles down in a big way.
Right. And like, I mean, that's the Rockets have shown a lot of this too. I mean, if you look at Josh Smith, right? Josh Smith, the guy the Rockets picked up for the biannual exception because he was waived basically for the stretch provision by the Detroit Pistons. And like, the Rockets picked him up for cheap, and he looked really awesome for the Rockets. Really great defender. They turned him into a pseudo stretch four, which he really wasn't great at. But, I mean, he was good enough to get the Rockets to a conference finals. And, like, some of that could happen here in Houston, right? I do think the Rockets' culture is strong enough to take in a Carmelo Anthony without completely disrupting, completely imploding right away. Like, I think if that were to happen, it would take some time. You know, Chris Paul, certainly somebody who could probably set Carmelo Anthony in line. You know, and it's really on Melo to make this work, right? Because he has to understand that he's going to be the third banana here. No pun intended. He has to understand that he's going to be, he's not going to be the best player, but he can be an effective player, a really effective player, if he chooses to do so.
Yeah, and I think that's what it comes down to, that his talent level is high enough that they feel the need to go ahead and up that risk profile once again. Like, they need to raise their ceiling, even if it means lowering their floor. So overall, I think it's probably a good move, as long as you're not giving up more than basically Ryan Anderson and like a pick for it. But let me lay this on you. If Carmelo wants to go to Houston more than he would like to go to the Cavs, or even if he'd like to go to both, would it not be in his best interest to still angle for that buyout and then go to the team he wants on perhaps a cheaper contract? Like, if he's still going to get paid, he could go to Houston or the Cavs at a very low price and not have to send anything to the Knicks in the process.
Yeah, I mean, his teammates are certainly gonna be better if he does so, there's another benefit to that, which I guess we can tease on this podcast. I'm writing a column about this. If the Rockets were to go, say, after a big fish next year, and you know, Carmelo Anthony's on a cheap deal, perhaps, you know, like, the Rockets can, you know, get Carmelo Anthony on a biannual exception or whatever. They go into next offseason, they clear some cap space, they get their big fish, they bring back Carmelo Anthony on bird rights. Like that's certainly beneficial. Like, that would certainly help the Rockets and Carmelo Anthony, like, to have a better Rockets team. But I mean, it really depends on where the Knicks are in this, right? Like, Are the Knicks willing to buy out Melo? And I'm not sure if they are. I mean, like, James Dolan's shown a real resistance to that. I mean, that's kind of one of the reasons that he supposedly fired Phil for, that he won't, that he's wants to buy out Carmelo Anthony, and you know, James Dolan doesn't want to do so. And like, it really depends on what the Knicks really realistically expect to get from Carmelo Anthony. If the Cavs are going to put Kevin Love on the table, I don't think the Rockets can match any sort of offer that's going to beat that. It's just, the Rockets are kind of depleted of assets. I mean, not kind of. They are depleted of assets after that Chris Paul trade. They traded, you know, Patrick Beverley, one of the best contracts in the NBA, Sam Decker, Harrell, and a first-round pick. And, like, they're kind of up against the wall here. They're probably not going to give up much of value to the Knicks other than Ryan Anderson and maybe a pick, and probably some salary filler. So, I mean, it really depends on where the Knicks are in this. And I'm really interested to see, like, Zach Lowe on a podcast today said that he expects this situation to get resolved pretty soon. Like, whether he goes to Cleveland or Houston, he thinks that's going to happen pretty soon. So, I mean, like, we'll see. Like, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm kind of the mind that, I mean, A, for him, it'd probably be best to go to Houston or Cleveland after a buyout, because then he can be on a stronger team. But I kind of think that it would be a good idea for the Rockets to trade for him, because Ryan Anderson's great, but that contract is going to get pretty stinky pretty soon. And if they can manage to get out from underneath that contract, that is a major coup. Like Ryan Anderson's very helpful for the team, but he's not going to be forever. So I think that would be incredibly impressive if they were able to avoid the bad parts of that contract.
But here, work with me for a little bit. So let's just say they get Carmelo Anthony in a buyout, right? A biannual exception, whatever, right? Whatever, a vet minimum. I doubt he's going to take a vet minimum, but whatever. They get Carmelo Anthony in a buyout, right? And they still have Ryan Anderson's contract going forward. He's probably going to be a bench player. Carmelo Anthony's probably going to start. And then we go into next offseason, and the Rockets can free up an insane amount of cap room just by moving Ryan Anderson's contract. And, you know, that leaves them susceptible to bringing in, like, a guy like Paul George. Like, he's going to be a free agent next summer. LeBron James.
Think bigger.
LeBron
Think,
James.
Yes, there it is.
He's going to be a free agent next summer. You know, like, you get where I'm going with this, right? Like, the Banana Boat crew could potentially reunite if he takes
banana
that buyout.
Boat. Yes, I'm ready for the Banana Boat. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, hopefully that's what they'll do, but I think it's not all bad if they end up trading Ryan Anderson.
Yeah, and this is sort of a pipe dream here, right? But like in that theoretical situation, it's better for him to take that buyout. You know what I'm saying?
Hand me that pipe. Let me dream. That's the good stuff right there. You gotta try to get that Banana Boat together. There can be no better plan. And even if it totally comes apart and is not good at all, which many people have suspected might happen, that's fine. You gotta take that shot. Shoot your shots. The Rockets are a great team. They shoot shots. Let's go.
Daryl Morey certainly shoots his shots. Here's what I'll say: if the Rockets trade for Carmelo Anthony, the gamble you're making is that he's a good enough player to be the third best player on your championship team. And that might have been good enough like 3 years ago, but now we're in a Warriors era, right? Where you have to view everything in the lens of the Warriors, right? And if you think Carmelo Anthony is a good enough, you know, third option to take on the Warriors, go ahead and do it. But I mean, here's what I'll say. The Warriors third best player is probably what, Draymond Green? And I certainly think he's better than Carmelo Anthony. And so I mean, like, it's really like you're banking on the idea that Carmelo Anthony will become a better player when he comes to the Rockets, right? Because he's probably like a top 40, 30 player right now. And you're banking on that to dramatically improve when you take on the Warriors. You're banking on him to become a totally different player, a totally different Melo. And that's certainly possible, right? That's what a lot of the Melo believers are rooting for, right? Like that's the pipe dream, right? Like that's the idea here. Olympic Melo can be that good. And I'm not sure if he will be, but I mean, if he is, then you got a pretty compelling shot, like a punter's chance at taking on this juggernaut in Oakland.
You just got to get better. I think that's what it comes down to. Well, you got to get better, and then also, you kind of want to see if maybe you can get a Banana Boat situation going on. I mean, I think that's a big part of it. If you have Chris Paul and you have Carmelo Anthony and you have a way to clear like a decent chunk of cap space, you can walk into that room with LeBron James next summer and you can make a pretty good case. If you bring Melo and Chris Paul with him,
that's the pipe dream, right? And right now, I mean, getting Melo is the gamble you kind of have to take if you want to make that work. I remain quietly skeptical. I think Ryan Anderson's like fit beautifully for this Rockets team. He's an awesome shooter. Mike D'Antoni uses him really well. And I think the Rockets can stand to play one more year without taking any, you know, crazy risks. But again, Daryl Morey said in that Zach Lowe column, we're going to up our risk profile. I mean, adding Chris Paul and Carmelo Anthony is certainly upping our risk profile to go after the Warriors. And, you know, that's pretty much all I have to say about the topic.
Yeah, I think we've pretty well covered it as it stands right now.
Yeah,
we'll see what happens. But for the moment, that's just kind of where it is. That's kind of where it's stay until it stops staying there.
Yeah.
That's my expert analysis.
And we'll bring in more guys who are like pro-Melo. Like everybody on the site is pro-Melo except for me, basically. And so we'll bring in more of those guys to discuss this, and they can make their case later during the week. But I mean, that's where I stand. That's where I currently stand. I'm quietly skeptical. I'm not going to rain on anyone's parade. Like if you're really excited about getting Melo, I'm obviously gonna, you know, tweet about it. I'm obviously gonna talk about it. Everything I hear about it, everything I read about it, I'm obviously gonna relay to you guys. But I mean, like, as far as it stands, I remain quietly skeptical. I'm not gonna lash out if the Rockets go after him. Daryl Morey's much better at this than I am. And yeah, I mean that's it. I mean that's all I have to say. I mean, like, you guys think he's gonna be a good positive addition? Let's go. I mean, let's make it happen. If anything, it's probably better if the Rockets get Melo, even if I don't like it, because it's just more to write about, more to talk about, more to podcast about. It's a more interesting team, right? The spotlight will certainly be on this Rockets team if they make that kind of a trade. Even it's already on this Rockets team. Everybody wants to see how this Chris Paul and James Harden thing works out. If they get Carmelo Anthony, there's going to be a huge, huge media presence here in Houston for this upcoming Rocket season.
Yeah, and maybe they can get more hated. That'd be really good. I am unapologetically pro wanting everyone to hate the Rockets. It's more fun to me. So, yeah, if they can just become super covered and everyone just immediately hates them before anything happens, that would be a great time.
Yeah, guys, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Follow us on Twitter at Red Nation Hoops and at Do Nots. Give us a good rating on iTunes if you enjoy the show. Even if you didn't enjoy the show, give us a good rating anyways, because that just helps people find the show. All right, guys, good night.